Good to see you all. Yeah, good to see you all. Romans chapter 8. We're going to spend another session on this. I just have some things I just didn't get to finish, and I just really wanted to finish this up properly. So forgive me for doing it again. This is our fourth week on a two-week session. But one nice thing about teaching Sunday school classes, we've always got next week. You know, it's kind of neat. We've always got next week. I just wanted you to know the legislature this week voted 156-1 that we will have little, if anything, to do with LGBT issues. And we will frown on it, and we will consider it aberrant, immoral behavior. Isn't that good? It's in the Wall Street Journal this week. Oh, I'm sorry. It's for the country of Hungary. Hungary did it. Huh? Isn't that good? I think I'm going to move to Hungary. Unbelievable. And in case you don't have one, I do have the Constitution of the United States. I carry this around a little bit because every once in a while I have to show people what it actually says about issues like elections and so on. It's just a little thing, but I kind of like having it around just as a reminder of what a great document it was. And it's the Bill of Rights are in there too. All right, welcome everyone. We're glad to see you on this Father's Day. And is there anything that you would like to share before we get started spiritually? Something that's going on in your life, a great, whatever it might be, anything you'd like to share right now? We'd love to hear from you. Now, when I did this in this class, I taught for 10 years. I taught by Coda, by the way, Jerry, for 10 years. I took over Jerry when he left, I think, many years ago. Believe me, I ended up with 5 or 6 people sharing. Isn't that true? They were very, very talkative. But you guys are afraid of me so far. I'm kind of new to this class, Jerry. So, yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've got it. I will not forget. We are about to begin a series on walking with God through pain and suffering. You thought you came today to do it. We will at the end for 2 minutes, I think. We'll see. But this will be a great class that the entire church is going to be teaching. You know, we've been taught how to teach this. And it'll be very appropriate as I thought of the Southern family. And I also thought of people like Sue Harrington, who's about to have a rather incredible operation. What date is that, sister?
Thursday, the
24th. Yeah, the 24th, Thursday. You got the email. And we have to recognize that this is part of our life, too. It's going to happen. It's how we handle it that makes all the difference in the world. And we will have lots of time to share stories like that, I'm sure, when we get into that. But I want to finish this Road to Holiness series, which we did an overview of Romans 6, 7, and 8. I don't know if you know me very well. I've been here for 20-some years, I think. And I'm an old man. I'm the oldest one in the class. You may not know, but I was a druggie for 15 years in my early years of my life. I was a druggie. Are you guys surprised?
Yes.
I was drugged from Sunday school to Wednesday night prayer meeting to Thursday night prayer meeting. I fooled you. Now, the sign-up sheet. We are having a backyard party. We had 102 people in my backyard this past week. We did, 102 people. Last Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we had 53, I think it was, came to our backyard. Half of them were kids, the whole bit. I want to explain one thing. My daughter said, "Don't do this, Barry. I'm doing it." We have a pool. You're welcome to swim. Last Sunday night, there were probably 25 kids in the pool, some for 4 hours. Okay, we have a volleyball court. We have other stuff. We have a good time. You can sit around and chat. We had a tremendous time of just talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just wonderful. I don't know. 3 women went in the pool. Okay? Because you might not want to come to my party because you say, I'm not going to that pool. I don't want anybody seeing me. And you're not going to see me without a shirt on that night. You know? I'm just letting you know. That's, you know what I mean? Sometimes people get nervous. The pool will be available and we'll have a great time. But there's a lot of other things we're going to do. So I need to know if you're coming. And I'm going to send this around, if you don't mind. I appreciate it. And we'll start to get an idea. It's several weeks away. I think it's the 9th or 10th of July. And we're 5 miles north of here. So we're very close to the church. And we're going to have a great time. Bob and Kathy Johnson are coming. Okay? Kathy's part of our class. And I thought, well, I better invite Bob too, you know. So we'll have a great time. We will. Any questions on that? And we're going to have everybody bring food, and you know, it'll work out fine. We've got several weeks.
I think I saw a sheet there too, signing up for setup and cleanup.
Yeah, but we got several people already set up, so we hardly need more help. Also, on this series, by the way, your outline, Jerry, you'll love this. Your outline for today is the back of my ad for the party. That's my outline for today, and here it is. Here it is. This is the old-fashioned way. Okay, but I want to know, I don't know if Mike Wade's listening today, but you can eat your heart out, Mike Wade. This is my series, 10 pages of notes, okay? I've got notes on everything I said over the last 4 weeks, and I'm going to put them back here. I have 10 copies. There's probably about two of you that really want it, but it's here. It's here. For those few of you that would like this outline, here it is, all laid down there. So I don't want Mike to think I don't do outlines. Oh, that's funny. And we will have outlines when we get into this issue of suffering. By the way, a year ago almost to the day, you want to talk about this? I personally almost died. I was that close to death. I want you to know. And I will explain that briefly. So I have experienced this in my life in many ways. But that was one, believe me, it was a wake-up call. Let's see here. Where are we at here? A few weeks ago, I told you the story of going, and I'm going to be brief, but I want to share it. It's so exciting. I was downtown Detroit with a Christian friend of mine, and we had dinner in sight of the Ambassador Bridge. And as we came out of there, there was a little bit of a riot. Sister, don't you be offended, you know me. There were 19 African Americans there, and they were rioting at the entrance to the restaurant. They were the F word, GD, everything, and so on. And I said to Broda, Steve Broda, I said, let's go tell them about Jesus Christ. Remember? I told you guys. And he said, Malloy, no, let's get in the car and get out of here. I said, no, the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit. I said, the Spirit of God is telling me it's to go over here. And we went there. And we prayed. And we preached the gospel. And we gave them all a tract. And they all shut up. They stopped you. They actually apologized for taking the Lord's name in vain. Wasn't that good? And we prayed with them, and we helped them. As we got in the car, Steve said, oh my goodness, Malloy, am I glad we did that. The next day, Steve lives in Northville. He was driving and saw two 60-year-old homeless people looking for money. He pulled up and said, this is in Northville area. He pulled up and he said, hey, I was inspired, Malloy. I was so inspired what happened the day before with this thing down in Detroit. He said, I pulled up and I said, fellas, I'm not going to give you money, but I'll be back. He went to Sam's and he bought $90 worth of food, chicken, pot pies, groceries, and so on. He picked the guys up, okay? He picked the guys up in his car. He took them to a hotel. He paid for two nights, over $300. He paid for two nights for them to stay in a hotel. He had a Bible study with them those nights. He used this program. I've used it. Discipleship Bible Study. Who is Jesus Christ? Really good stuff. You know, one of these where you write down and stuff. And he led one of the fellows to the Lord. He believes he was truly saved. He's in touch with them every day. They were living in a crack house. That's how they were surviving. They actually had pensions, but they were wasting their life. And he led one of them to Christ. And he now has those two fellas in a home that's a church out in Livonia is involved in. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
This is walking with Christ. Okay? He's got them in this home. They're being helped. They're out of the crack house. He's paying $100 a month for each of them. He says, I don't care. This is what I'm called to do. So I was so excited about that, folks. I was so excited about that. That is the Lord at work. Let's see what takes place over the next 6 months. He says, they call me every day. They call me every day. Any comments on that? Rather bizarre, eh? That's good. That's good bizarre. Did I pray yet? Lord, help us as we look at this. This is what it's all about. We've been called to live a life that is extraordinarily different from my neighbor. And we've been called a life to show incredible love and care for that neighbor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There is a new law. There is a new law, folks. There's a new law within us. And that's the law of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, ruling and reigning in our life. And that's Romans chapter 8. You remember my Matthew 6 bird story a few weeks ago about walking in the Spirit? And you go along and you ask these birds, you know, aren't you afraid as you leap off those trees and that? Aren't you afraid about the law of gravity? It's going to bring you down? And how do they reply? They say, what? We don't even know about the law of gravity. All we know is that when we take off, our life, the law of our life is to fly. And we just fly. And we go and we enjoy. I always think the animal that has the best life is a bird, right? I think I'd love to be able to do one of those jobs. Wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be glad to fly around and look? Oh, it must be a very joyous life. And I don't often see too many birds laying dead, unless they run into an airplane or something. The Lord has given us this new life, folks, of the Spirit. And for us to fly, it's no longer a question of our will. It's a question of our life. This is the life we lead. You think a crazy man like me, with a red eye due to a disease that's attacking, will want to walk up to 19 people in downtown Detroit and tell them about Jesus? No, that's the last thing I want to do. But I'll tell you what, with the Spirit of God within you, every once in a while, we do crazy things like that. And it's good. It's good. That's what God calls us to do. So there's a new law. We're led by the Holy Spirit. Any comments on that before we move forward?
Barry, I just was thinking of the crazy thing that Mary of Bethany did. I mean, imagine she went into this room full of people, these Pharisees and scribes and who knows else, and she knelt at Jesus' feet and she broke that alabaster jar. That was a pretty crazy thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it changed her life.
Amen.
Secondly, it is not a work. It is a walk. Okay? It is a walk that we're called to lead. This idea of walking implies subjection. We're submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Every time we turn around, I can remember in the work world, I had a pretty stressful job for a while. And sometimes, you know, I just had to get out of my office and go to the bathroom to pray, right? Anybody done it? Say, Lord, I got a tough situation. I got a customer that's coming in, and he's going to default on a $4 million loan, and we're going to foreclose, and we got a personal guarantee, and we're going to put all his furniture on his sidewalk, you know? And his three kids are going to be screaming, and this is going to be a bad situation, and I've got to make this happen. A lot of stress. Didn't want to do it. Had to do it. I went to the Lord. What can I do? What's the right thing to do? How can I do it? Now, stay with me now. Walking after the flesh means that I yield to the dictates of the flesh. Okay? And that leads to tremendous conflict with God. I believe, I'm an old man, I believe that the internet is one of the worst things in the world today. I really do. I think Facebook and what are those other ones called? I don't even have them.
Instagram. Huh? Twitter, Instagram,
yeah.
LinkedIn.
I think they're awful. I think they're just awful. And yet I think that one of the most greatest things that's ever been invented. It's amazing how the attitudes of people have been so affected by misinformation through those vehicles. Okay? It's just such a shame. And it's ruining our country. It is. It's ruining our country. You can ruin a man's reputation with one tweet, and it'll never be regained. I'm serious. And you see it all the time. I look and see the horrendous attitude put out on some of these things only because these people send it to me. I'm not on Facebook, but every once in a while I get a little clip or something. And how they can ruin a man's reputation, even a preacher of the gospel. Have you ever seen some of the hateful things that are put out? It's just so terrible. So stay with me. We've got to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to be subject to the Spirit. I must be subject to the Spirit of God. We submit to Him. Many of us know that Christ is our life. Okay? We know this. This is what we're called to do. We believe that the Spirit of God is resonant in us. We know that He's resonant in us. But many Christians has little effect on their behavior. Have you ever seen that? And it happens to us too. Sometimes I can see my mouth going, you know, blabbing off, and I don't curse, but daggone it's almost close to cursing. And you know what I mean? And we can get out of control because we don't walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to rule our lives. That's what we're called to live. Okay? The question is, do we know Him as a living person? And do we know Him as our boss? Do we know Him? There's a new boss in town, and He's in charge. He's in charge of our life daily. And are we willing to submit to Him? Okay? Your thoughts right now. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to look at some scripture.
You know, this is very encouraging, you know, for Joyce and I. Most of you know we came out of the charismatic movement.
Yes.
Where they basically abused the Holy Spirit, I think you put it that way. But what happens sometimes is you tend to, like, then reject anything about the Holy Spirit. So this has been very encouraging to, you know, a proper biblical examination of how this all works. So.
Yes. Amen. Any other thoughts? A friend of mine, just last week, somebody came to the church who he worked with, didn't know that they were coming, and that person, and he had never witnessed to this person, never talked to them in the work, but just worked with them, you know, in the environment of an office situation. And she walked in and said to this fella, Eric, I'm making up the name, Eric, wow. I always knew you were a Christian. She said, I always knew you were a Christian. I've watched you this last year, and I knew you were a Christian. And she's not even a Christian. I like that. She was visiting our church in the last month. I'll tell you, that was just such an encouragement. Because Eric said, I've never talked to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was living the life in the work situation, and she saw it. Thought it was a great example. Now let's go to chapter 8 and verse 14.
Barry,
you go ahead.
Can I share one more thing?
Oh, please.
A similar story about, you know, Burke Spalding.
Yes.
I took a law introduction to business law course years ago at Wayne State before coming to Cornerstone, and Burke Spalding was my professor.
Oh, wow.
And I had a feeling, you know, that he was a believer, you know, the way he can conduct himself, and he was just a wonderful human being. And when we first visited Cornerstone, it was like, oh my gosh, that's my law firm.
So isn't that cool? Yep. Everybody's watching. You know, the unfortunate thing is you can ruin your testimony in one day, too. You know, and it takes a long time to regroup. So, all right, let's look at chapter 8 and verse 14. I want to read one verse and talk about this a little bit. Let's see here. First of all, I want to read verse 9. I'm reading out of the NIV. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Oh, by the way, if the Spirit of God lives in you. I like that phrase. Just in case you didn't know, He's in charge of your life. Just in case you forget it once in a while, He's in charge. And then I like verse 13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And here's my verse. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Oh, those that live by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Wow. Now I want to look at three little practical applications. And then I would like to have from you guys five practical illustrations of what it means to walk in the Spirit in just our normal daily life. Just five ideas, okay? I'd like to do that. Walking according to the Spirit means to be led by Him. It means to live by the moral, doctrinal, and ethical standards of the Word of God. Okay? It means getting up at 4:50. I did it for 44 years, folks. I got up at 4:50 to run those 3.7 miles I told you about. And then I had my Bible time. Okay? Today, retired, sometimes I have my Bible time at 11 o'clock. And I kind of like it. But boy, when I was working and family and all the rest, if I didn't get going at 4:50, guess what? It probably wouldn't get done. Anybody relate to that? That's the way I lived. It was wonderful. It was like in my DNA. I just loved it. That's the way we're called. And we read and we study the Word of God and see these principles, these great things that we are taught, and put them into action every day. That's number one, walking in the Spirit. Secondly, it is to love others and deeply enjoy the blessings of life, both spiritually and physically. Pam, my wife Pam, we've been married, I think, 82 years. We've been married a long time, at least 52, okay? And you're going to meet her, by the way, someday. Some people think that I don't have a wife, but she's in the youth group. She's been there for like 26 years. She's the oldest one in the youth group, by the way, too. I'm the oldest one in this class. She's the oldest one there. But anyway, Pam and her two daughters, who are down there with the youth group today, they went and had lunch, breakfast or something, you know, one of these expensive breakfasts. And as they walked in, and if any of you know Pam, you'll relate to this. She's only about 5 foot tall and very friendly, very, very friendly lady. They walked into the restaurant, and a man was coming out of the restaurant. He had gotten a carry out, and he was an elderly man. I mean, 60, you know, 60 is, you know, I don't she said around 60. But anyway, he's coming out with this bag, you know, and no big thing. He had this bag. He was going to open up the door and go to his car, and, you know, everything's fine. So he did. Well, Pam got up and said, oh, sir, let me help you. And she opened up the door. Do you know what happened? Are you ready? The breakfast was $62, you know. I said, what kind of breakfast do you have for $62? You know, three people. And women, they're always on diets. What in the world? $62. Guess what? The man walks back with $50, gave it to the waitress, you know, and said, would you give that to that lady? I want to take care of that, their bill. I don't know what their bill is, but there it is. Isn't that wonderful? Pam showed the love of Christ and just opened the door. Isn't that cool? And by the way, the waitress was good too. She could have kept those $50. He would have never known, right? Would have never known. Made my day. I do the budget every day, and I put down 12 instead of 62. So I really felt good. You understand? But anyway, this sounds silly, but we're to live this life to show love and concern for other people, to go out of our way to help people. Oh, my goodness. Huh? This is what we're called to do. This is the Christian life. We're the most caring people on the face of the earth. We're the most giving people on the face of the earth. No other group of people give more to help other people than the Christian community. We born-again people. That's the way it is. Isn't it great? Because of the love of Christ. I'm going to tell you one more story. My wife didn't get to bed till 3 o'clock this morning. Why? Because one of the ladies in our small group had to pick up her daughter and two kids from the airport, and there was a 3-hour delay. And she asked Pam to go with her. So what's Pam supposed to say? She's a widow. She's a widower. Okay? Widowers get even special. They get super special treatment from the Christian community. Amen? The widowers get super special treatment. And Pam did it. 3 o'clock this morning, she woke me up. Said, I just got back. Just got back. You know, it was a long night. This is what we're called to do, folks. This is the life we're called to live. We're to go out of our way. I have a lot of people say, oh, I don't think the church is that friendly. You know, I don't know. I don't think the church is all that friendly. Man, I'm getting way off, by the way. We might not even finish this thing. Huh? But we're gonna finish it. You know what I say to a lot of those people? You know what I think with a lot of people? I don't know about what you do. Again, I just give personal illustrations, not to brag about anything, because I am really a bad guy. Only by the grace of God. But when I come to Cornerstone Baptist Church, almost every week, I purpose in my mind, you're going to think I'm nuts, and I am half crazy. I purpose in my mind to talk to at least 10 people that I don't know. Anybody ever do this, by the way? Am I the only one? I just go up to them and say hi. We had a guy come in. I talked to him. He was thinking of looking for a new class. And guess what? He left and went to another class. So I guess I didn't impress him very much. I thought he would have stayed. I tried. That's my first guy. I got to get 10 in. But I find that's a good way to be. Think that way. That's part of Christianity. Caring for other people. And we're going to ask for some comments. And then lastly, I'd like to mention, we are to enjoy material things. God has blessed us, okay? We're to enjoy them. We're to be thankful for them. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't say to the Lord, I am so thankful, Lord, for how good you've been to me. It's unbelievable how good you've been to me and for the great country that I do live in. Thank you, okay? But we want to make sure that it's not our God. And by the way, it can get being godlike very easily, right? It can become extremely godlike, and that's not good. We are called to live this life. There is a peace and a contentment in such a life, a life filled with kindness, a life filled with goodness, a life filled with caring and worship for the Lord. This is the life we're called to live. And Romans 8 is so dramatic. I'm going to read 6 verses at the end here. What time is it? I'm in good shape. But I want to get your comments. Give me 5 illustrations, just quick ones, 30-second type stuff. 5 illustrations of what it means to walk in the Spirit of God. He's in charge of our life. Give me 5. Come on. Number 1.
Selfless.
Selfless. 2.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Great.
Discipline.
Discipline. Others?
Generous.
Generous.
Hope in times of trouble.
You hear that? Hope in time of trouble. How about a few more? We're on a roll here. Let's go six.
Self-control.
Long-suffering.
Being
thankful. He knows all about it, by the way. This dear brother knows. We're praying for him. He's got cancer. Okay? God's working in his life. Something's going on in there. I talk to you about every week, bro, don't I?
Yep.
And something's going on in his life. You pray that God will take it out of his life. Go, number eight. Give me another one. One more.
Joy.
You know, we're to be a joyful people. You talk about joy. I read the last page and we win. Man, we've got joy. All right. Any other thoughts on that? We are done with the road to holiness. Okay? No, we just began. I want to read verses 31 to 39. I want to read with enthusiasm. Okay? 31 to 39. Now, let's do this. Jerry, come on up here, Jerry Bench. I would like you to read this. 31 to 39. Look at this print. Isn't this cool? Well, I am going blind. 31 to 39. I'd like you to read this with your own enthusiasm. Okay. And listen to this. This is out of the New International. I don't have an ESV yet. Somebody want to buy me one. But 31 to 39. Listen to this.
Okay. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jerry. Tremendous.
Thank you.
Tremendous. By the way, I didn't send this sheet around. I'm in trouble. Has this been around?
Yeah, that one.
The whole room, everybody?
Yeah.
We've only got five people coming. No, we got a lot of people coming. See that bathing suit story? My daughter told me, don't do that bathing suit story. That did the trick. Isn't that a tremendous way to end this chapter? And I don't know about you, I'm very sad to see what's going on in my country. But you know what? A lot of Christians live in this country. There's a lot of people out there. And I'm just praying to God that we can see a change. Not sure what's going to happen. Pray for a change for good. All right, we're finished with that. And I'd like to spend a couple minutes talking about what we're about to do. We're going to be looking at the subject. Any final thoughts on the road to holiness? Anything you want to share? Go ahead, sister.
Something that just came to mind.
Yes.
Which I have messed up a lot of times.
I'm listening.
When the Holy Spirit is stirring you. I know I'm not alone. You feel that maybe to go talk to someone or go approach someone. I actually feel it in my gut. You get this nervousness, and you want to walk away. What I've learned from my mistakes is, well, would my flesh want to talk to a random stranger and offer them help in this way? No. So that has to be the Spirit.
Amen.
And do I want to not do what the Holy Spirit says to do?
Yeah.
So even through your nervousness, even me even saying this right now, I didn't want to raise my hand, but I feel like I had to do it.
Amen.
I don't always do it, but I've learned that I probably should go by it.
Excellent. And by the way, I have never been turned down to pray with somebody in a public thing. Often in my involvement with people, I'm not saying I do this all, I do it a lot, but I'll just say, could I pray with you? I've never had somebody, no, I don't want to hear your prayer. I've never had anybody do it. They always let me pray. For some reason, let me pray. And it's a great way, as a door opener, you can actually share the gospel in your prayer and say, hey, have a great day. God bless. Beck?
When we were listing the 5 practical examples. And
yes.
You told a story about your wife holding the door.
Yeah.
One thing that I've found as an observation in today's day that people are astounded by is when we do things for other people, people won't lower themselves to do even little things for other people. They're just astounded that you would open a door, you would, if somebody dropped something, that you would stop and pick it up for them.
Yes.
You would do little things. And yeah. I'm always amazed that when you want to help somebody for something, that they are just always amazed at that. I remember, and I hope Anna doesn't mind me telling this story, but when sick and in the hospital, and I would come by and, just visit her and do things. Well, one time I brought some oils by, and I was rubbing her feet with them because I knew it would relax her, and it was just some calming oils and stuff like that. And and I didn't think anything of it, and it was just was helping her, and so it just made her feet feel really good, and just was releasing some tension and all that stuff. And later, she said the nurses and people coming by was like, "Who was that?" she actually rubbed your feet.
Wow, yes.
Kind of a friend would actually rub your feet, and they were amazed that somebody would, actually humble themselves to actually rub somebody else's feet. And we didn't think anything about it, but other people are amazed when somebody would, lower themselves to do something for somebody else. And I counter that sometimes, and I watch other people, and I think that's a big thing and a big testimony when we lower ourselves, so to speak.
Yeah.
And put others first and do something that other people think like that is amazing. I think that's a huge testimony.
Wonderful. Little Timmy Price. We got the testimony of Timmy Price last Sunday, right? Little boy's got cancer. Huh? It's a tough situation. His mom gave that testimony. And then the word was put out, about some meals. Then they had to put a memo out that said, you can stop providing the meals. We actually have too much. They didn't say it that way. I love that. I felt like it was Moses telling them when they're building, stop. We've got too much stuff. We don't need any more. That's Christianity in action, folks, let me tell you. Now, we're going to go for about 14 weeks on this subject, okay? And it'll be a good one. It'll be a good one, I think. It'll be helpful. And we're going to cover the suffering of God. Why do we suffer? Why do Christians suffer? We're going to talk about walking in the Spirit when I'm sick, when I'm depressed. We're going to look at a variety of suffering. We're going to talk about weeping. We're going to talk about trusting the Lord, what it really means to trust Him. In some cases, in the worst of circumstances. I mean, our brother Southern, you can't get... When I read that this week, it really broke my heart. Okay? Trusting. And then we're going to talk about praying. Why are we called to pray? What can happen when we pray? What can change when we pray? And we're going to go through all this sort of stuff. So it should be a good class, I hope. I'll do the best that I can. And who wants the final thought? One thing, one more thing you just want to say. Anybody? Go ahead.
I just had a thought building off what you guys were talking about with the Holy Spirit, is that you'll never regret acting on that feeling, but you will regret it when you don't.
Yes.
I experienced that for where you're nervous or you think, oh, I'm just not going to do it. And then it always tugs on your heart later. So, like, always follow that and be wise about it. Don't just, you know, be foolish with how you act on things, but you will regret acting on it. You will regret not doing it.
And Sue, who's about to go through a pretty serious situation, she said one of the things she's looking forward to is telling those people that are going to take care of her about Jesus Christ, as I prayed with her. Isn't that cool? That's a great attitude. How about another thought? One more. Go ahead.
All right. So, think of, we walk with the Spirit, but do we drive with the Spirit? Okay, I'm a pretty aggressive driver, so the Lord's just really been challenging me with that. So one little motto I have now is always make room. So make sure there's room for another person to slip in.
Yes.
And you know, that's just the same as opening the door. But the thing about driving is nobody's going to stop and thank you. You just, it's not, you're not going to get a return on your kindness.
Right.
So it's... always make room. That's my little motto now. That keeps me a little more calm on the road.
Sister Johnson has a Mini Cooper, a red one. Guess what? I have a red Mini Cooper, Pam and I. Exactly. Do you notice how people toot the horn nastily to us? Have you noticed that? And how I've never seen people get so close to the rear end of my car. I don't know if it's just because it's small. But we get mistreated because we're little. Isn't that true, Kev? I'm dead serious.
Don't see us all the time.
And sometimes I don't have that extra seat with my attitude. You know what I'm saying? You know, get off my tail. Lord, we thank you. We're so thankful, Lord. Lord, we want to stop right now. We just want to thank you for saving us, for changing us, for motivating us. And that we get to live with you forever and ever and rejoice. This is a great life we've been called to live. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, folks.